I've been away for quite a while, but it's good to be back. The church in Pretoria sends their love, so too the church in Wellington. It's great, however, to be back home. I cannot see the crowd, but that's all right. As long as you can see me, I guess it's good. Can us itsie doen? Just a little bit. Okay, great. Before we continue, I just want to make sure everybody that you received a cup, a communion cup. Is there anybody that did not receive a communion cup? If you can quickly put up your hand, and the ushers will quickly come and give you a cup. So let's just see. Just keep your hand raised if you missed the cup. I'm just going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can be back together in this first day of the week to be reminded of the day that you were raised from the dead, that you overcame sin and death and gave us a way to you by grace through faith. Lord, we thank you for this amazing grace in which we stand, Lord. And I pray this morning, Father, that as we come together, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us your heart and your word. And Lord, that it may find good soil in us and produce in us fruit that will bring glory to you. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share around 2 Peter chapter 1. And there's a verse in chapter 1 verse 5 that really stood out for me. And I want us to just quickly read that together. It says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we started to share around what it means to live for God. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15, it says, for he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You know, what is challenging about South Africa statistically is that on the census, they estimate that 84% of South Africans are Christian. 84% of South Africans identify themselves as Christians. And I wish it was true that 84% of South Africans were disciples of Jesus. But there's a big difference between a nominal Christian and a disciple of Jesus. You know, in our culture, the meaning of Christian has been watered down. And we know that there is a big difference between those who culturally identify with the concept of Christianity and those who actually follow Jesus as a disciple. And I have a video clip that quickly defines the difference between a nominal Christian and a disciple of Jesus.
A Christian is a Christian in name only. So it's somebody who would assume they're a Christian or even claim to be a Christian. Maybe their family or cultural heritage background is a Christian one. Maybe even they go to church, but there's no spiritual hunger in their lives. There's no desire to know God better. And so they don't find any joy from reading the Bible or hearing the Bible taught. They don't delight in God at all. They live their
Jesus, just assume that Jesus was their friend. Jesus says that he's going to tell those people, go away, I never knew you. It's not enough just to say you're a Christian. It's not enough just to say that you one time a long time ago prayed a prayer or checked a box or walked an aisle, and so you're a Christian. Instead, the question is, do you know Jesus? Are you following him? Have you turned from your sins, and are you trusting in him right now?
You see, a disciple of Jesus is somebody that gave their life to God. It's that born-again experience where somebody completely surrenders to God and accept him as is not just the Savior of the world, but their Lord and King. It is somebody that follows the teaching and the example of Christ. It is somebody that has started this transition of no longer living for themselves, but actually living for God. That is a true disciple of Jesus. And this afternoon, we're going to baptize some people who are making a radical decision to follow God as their Savior and Lord. You see, one of the differences I found between a nominal Christian and a disciple of Jesus is there are many people that accept Jesus as their Savior, but they do not follow Him as their Lord. They still continue to live for themselves, and they know they don't have a desire to actually live for Christ. Now, as you know, church for us is not just about what happens on a Sunday. For us, church is about creating a community of disciples that follow Jesus. And so everything that we do in this congregation is to encourage people to take this step from following Jesus as their Savior to also following as their Lord and King. And so everything we do is to create an environment of discipleship where we can have people grow in their faith in following Jesus. Establishing a community of disciples, literally a community within a community. Like Jesus said, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Living our lives differently to this world. We become light in the midst of darkness, a light that needs to be put on a lampstand and not hidden, because we are no longer living like the world. We are now living like Christ. We are following His teaching and His example, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We become different to this world, and that is really our heart for church. And so as I was reading 2 Peter 1 with some friends, this verse really stood out for me. Verse 5, where it says, "But you also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith." And so I've been meditating and studying this whole first chapter, just speaking to the Lord about what does this mean, personally for myself, but also for us as a church. What are we to add to our faith, and how does it look like, and why should we do that? And so when the Apostle Peter writes, "Also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith," the question we need to ask ourselves is, what do we need to add to our faith? Is our faith in itself not sufficient? What are the things that we need to add to it, and why, and how do we do that? And giving all diligence to do so. What is also interesting about this portion of Scripture is it was probably the last letter that Peter wrote. And he knew it. As a matter of fact, he makes mention of that in the first chapter, that he believes it is his final letter. In verse 12 to 15 of this letter, Peter writes the following, and the heading in my Bible is Peter's approaching death. And he writes the following. He says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So what is these things that we need to add to our faith, to be diligent to add to our faith, that Peter are so passionate about us, passionate to remind us of these things, to keep on reminding us even after he's passed away? It's so powerful to think of this as in its context of Peter realizing this is my last letter, my appeal, that I want to do everything in my power to remind you of these things. It made me think, what would I preach if it was my final sermon? Well, in a certain sense, this was Peter's final sermon. So what are these things that he says we must be diligent to add to our faith, and that he will make every effort to remind us of doing so? Peter knew it was his end. And so I want us to read together the beginning of this letter, just the first chapter, to find out what is this that is so important to Peter, that we should be diligent to add and not forget to do. So let's read here from verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, who also called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given these exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. What a powerful introduction. A powerful introduction to what God has given us through salvation and being born again. And now the following verses follows on how we should respond to this, what God has given us. This divine nature, this precious promises, enabling us to escape the corruption that is in the world. How should we respond to this? We read further from verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. And now, what would be the result of actually doing these things, adding all these things to us? We continue to read in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Peter's determination. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Moreover, verse 15, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So here we see a very powerful introduction to a letter that is so important to Peter, to remind us of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to remind us to continually grow in godliness and to abound in it. And so this morning I do want to remind and encourage us to do so. To cover all that was said in this chapter, however, it's going to take more than one sermon. So I'm going to break it up in two parts. And this morning, I just want to focus on the why and the how we ought to live for God. So I want to look at those elements. And I'm just going to focus here on the first two or three verses in the beginning of the chapter. And I want us to read again from verse 2. And I really want us to really meditate upon this. And there are a lot of things in it. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. As His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which He has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So I'm just going to focus on this portion today, and next week we'll continue with the rest. But this is a powerful part, because it's actually what Peter explains to us, what God has granted us through salvation and the Holy Spirit. He starts off by what we were giving through salvation, by saying God has given us divine power that we may have everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. What a powerful introduction. What a powerful summary of salvation. God has given us divine power that enables us to have everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. It is such a powerful summary of what it means to be following Jesus? What are the result of being saved? Not just forgiven from our sin and our guilt, but we've been given the Holy Spirit that enables us and give us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. His divine power refers to the Holy Spirit given to us at salvation and baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is such a powerful reminder of what God has given us. The knowledge of Him refers, of course, to the Word of God. What God has given us through the Spirit and through the Word is everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. And so it is so powerful that we remind ourselves of these things and not forget it. That's why Peter says what he says. The knowledge of Him we get through the Word of God. The divine power that lives in us is through the Holy Spirit. Our hunger for God leads us to the Word and to the Spirit. When we are hungry for God, we turn to the Word so that we can get to know Him more, and we turn to the Spirit that we may experience His closeness and intimacy and the application of the things that we discover in the Word. Because as we read the Word of God, we understand not only who God is, but what is pleasing in His sight, what is His ways, what is His principles, and what is actually, literally, the way that leads to eternal life. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to actually stay on that road and to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Our obedience to the Word and the Spirit leads to a relationship with God that gives us grace, peace, all things pertaining to life and godliness, and an entrance, a glorious entrance into the kingdom of God. It's these two elements that leads to this relationship with great promise. So I want you just for a moment just to close your eyes and to meditate upon this. I'm gonna just read that one verse again, and I want you just to meditate upon it. What does it mean, and how does it apply to your life? Just close your eyes for a moment and think about this. His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Who of you want that? I definitely do. And the amazing thing is, it is a promise. No, it is a reality already given to us as we continue in this relationship with Him. We all know Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will put on, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Peter is echoing the reality of what it means to seek God first. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness in our relationship with Him. Those who follow God in spirit and truth will have all things they need for life and godliness. You know, what I've discovered in my life is that the Word of God gives me the direction and the way of God. And the Spirit of God contextualizes it, makes it personal in my current circumstances. So the more I spend time in the Word of God, the more I see the way that God has set out that leads to eternal life. It is challenging because this way that God sets out is completely different to the way of the world. Yet as I see these things and I take it to heart, the Holy Spirit then comes and makes it real in my everyday circumstances. Because then all of a sudden when I'm faced with difficulty and decisions that I need to make, or challenged by the word or by the world or the philosophy in the world or what people may do and say towards me, I know what God said, and the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance what God said and leads me how to apply it right here and now. And then all of a sudden, the Word of God becomes alive and active. And then I can choose to be obedient to the Father and His ways and to reap the fruit of it. It is changing me from the inside every time I choose to obey what God says. And lo and behold, these promises are true. What I gather from when I follow God's way, what I reap from it is peace and grace and joy that cannot be taken from me in the midst of my circumstances, because it actually leads me closer to God. It's when I choose to obey what He says that He reveals more of Himself to me through His Spirit, through His presence, through revelation of who He is. And so the Word of God becomes alive. You see, the greater our knowledge of God becomes through the Word, the more we will discover the magnitude and extent of all these precious promises. That's why verse 4 says, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's very powerful. That the Word of God declares to us the exceeding great promises that God has given us, that through obedience to these words that God has given us, these precious promises, through obedience to this, we can become partakers of the divine nature as we become like Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. When God says that we must forgive, when we choose to do that, the Holy Spirit enables us to forgive. And when we forgive, we become part of God's nature, who forgives. Because the world does not forgive. The world does not understand forgiveness. It struggles with this concept. It has limits to it. But Christ says we must always forgive. And when we obey that, the Holy Spirit comes and changes us. And the more we choose to crucify our flesh and the worldly philosophies and to follow what God says, the more we choose to forgive, the more it becomes our nature to forgive. And we become like God's nature in forgiveness. And then God takes us to the next aspect of our life. To love. To love the way He loves. And then we again are confronted by what the flesh wants and what the Spirit wants. And then we have to choose what we're going to do. And then every time we choose to follow the Spirit and not the flesh, the Spirit actually changes us. You see, sometimes people think that God must first change me. That I'm supernaturally, all of a sudden, I'm going to be able to forgive everybody. I wish it was like that. And in some areas, God does do that. But in most of our areas, He gives us the way, and we need to choose. We need to choose whether we're going to follow our flesh or we're going to follow the Spirit. The transformation that takes place is in our obedience, in doing what the Spirit says. And little by little, we are changed. That at the end of this process, forgiveness becomes our nature, not our second nature. It becomes our nature. Because we understand and we have been changed. So that we can forgive like He forgives. God has granted us relationship with Him, which is an amazing thing. God has created us with a relational nature. We have a capacity and a desire to have relationship. And God has given us free will with the ability to seek relationship. And so, we have been given this ability to seek God, a relationship with Him, to seek His will and to seek His kingdom. And what is so powerful is when Christ stepped out of His glorious nature from heaven, when he chose to put down the glory of being God eternal and humble Himself to become man, the incarnation, to take the form of a created being. He humbled Himself to take our human nature upon Himself to save us. He now calls us in the same way to let go of our sinful nature and take hold of His divine nature. And so that is what is so powerful about the Holy Spirit that has been poured out into us, that we can change. You know what I love about ministry? It doesn't matter what circumstances or what challenges people may face, I have seen how God can change any person. It doesn't matter how selfish you are, how murderous you are, how deceitful you may be. If you give your life to God and you follow Him, God will change you. God will change you to become more like Jesus. And the most vile person becomes the most sweet, loving, caring person. It is amazing. And so I know whenever I counsel people, and sorry to make it so blunt, but the secret in all the challenges that people face is Jesus. That's the answer. The answer always is Jesus. The answer is always the humility before Him, asking Him to come into my life to change me, that I may become more like Him. And this may be a process, yes. But if you accept that, there is nothing in your life, nothing in your character, that cannot change. It is the beauty of actually counseling Christians. One of the most difficult things to do is to counsel a non-believer. Because all you can really do is listen at the problem. You can listen at the problem, identify it, and label it. You are a narcissist. How can I help you? I don't know. It's who you are, but let's talk about it. How does it make you feel? How does it make the people around you feel? Here's some tips for you. But if you're a follower of Jesus, and you ask Him, He will change you. And you will become compassionate, loving, and caring. That's the beauty of Christian counseling. It's actually helping people to connect with God, to obey Him, and to ask Him to change them. And so it gives me great hope when I counsel people. But I'm getting distracted. We are called to step out of our nature and to partake in His divine nature. And that step, that first step, takes place at salvation, when we are born again. You know, Jesus in John chapter 3, we know it so well with the conversation with Nicodemus. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Therefore, do not marvel if I say to you, you must be born again." You see, because the sinful nature and the fruit that controls your life cannot change unless you are born again. And the miracle of becoming a new creation, where God puts His Spirit in you and then changes you to become more like Jesus. But that comes through obedience. Christ was obedient to the will of the Father, even to the point of death. And so we too are called to be obedient to the will of the Father. God has poured out His Spirit in us so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so we can live a godly life through faith and obedience. God has blessed us abundantly with so many promises in the Word. That is all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Through the resurrection Christ in our life, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He has granted us His divine nature, the Holy Spirit, and therefore Peter urges us, he reminds us, he wants to refresh our memory and make every effort to remember, for us to remember always that we should live for God. Therefore, we must live in a way to add to our faith virtue and to walk virtue all the way to godliness, and that godliness fulfill its path in us. That the ultimate expression of that is love. That we will be able to love the way He loves us. But this all starts with a desire and a commitment to seek the truth in God's Word and to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit that He has given us. His divine nature enables us. You know, it's so powerful. We know these things. That's why Peter also says so powerfully, you already know these things, but I want to remind you of these things, that you will never forget it. You know, with the Spirit of God living in us, the fruit of the Spirit can manifest through us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. If we seek and desire the fullness of it, the expression of this divine nature in us will be love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's the inward working of God's divine nature in us, expressing through our character. And so we can grow in these things. If we seek Him, it will manifest more and more in our lives. And then there are the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. We read the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, healings, faith, miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues. That is the outward manifestation, which God gives to everyone as He pleases for the edifying of the body of Christ when we come together. Everything that we need for life and godliness is through His divine Spirit, His divine nature in us. So between the fruit of the Spirit, which is the inward character manifestation of the participation in the divine nature, and the gifts of the Spirit, which is the outward ministry of the manifestation of the divine nature in us, God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so Peter reminds us, and so do I, and I want to ask the band to come forward, and I want us to reflect on that for a moment. Like Peter says, I know you have these things, but I want to remind you of these things, that you must add to your faith a godly life, living for Him, knowing that His divine nature has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. And that if we seek Him through His Word and through His Spirit, these things will become more and more a reality in and through us. And that is what we have been called to. The Apostle Peter is reminding us, the Word of God is directing us, and the Spirit is yearning that we will take that step closer every day. Just surrendering ourselves to Him, desiring Him, and asking Him, Lord, help me to become more like You. Thank You for giving me everything that I need for life and godliness. It is in You. And so it's to You that we turn. It's to You that we seek. It's You that we ask. Come and fill me again, Lord. Come and show me afresh. Lord, come and change me. Lord, as I see myself as in a mirror, when I read the Word and I see the discrepancy between Christ and myself, Lord, I ask, have mercy on me. Have grace on me. Holy Spirit, come and change me. Help me to become more like Jesus. It's in those moments where God's power is manifested in and through us. And so we need to get to that place and be reminded of it every day. Let us take a step closer. If that is you this morning, we can all take a step closer. We can all take a step closer. We can all add to our faith. Make a decision to seek the Holy Spirit and to seek the truth in His Word. To grow in our knowledge of Him and in the Spirit of God. You know, the result of all these things is peace and grace, godly life, an entrance, a glorious entrance into the kingdom. So I want us just to close our eyes for a moment. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You for these awesome promises that You have given us through Your Son. Thank You for saving us, God, but leaving us not on our own, but giving us Your Word and Your Spirit, that we may know the way to continue to walk with You and to be changed by You. Lord, I pray that You will grant us a hunger and a thirst for more of You. Not just an experience, but a transformation. A change of character and nature. Lord, You have poured out Your Spirit in us. God, I pray that You will come and establish that in us. Lord, You said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but You have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And You have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And so, Lord, this morning, I want to pray, Lord, I want to pray for those who are struggling. I want to pray for those who are struggling in this life. Lord, I want to pray for those who are struggling within their character. Lord, some of us, Lord, are facing circumstances, Lord, that are so difficult. But I thank you, Lord, that you said you've given us everything that we need for life. And so this morning, as you keep your eyes closed, I want to pray for three responses. If you're struggling with life, whether it's your circumstances, sickness, lack, I want to really pray with you this morning. I really want to ask God's blessing in your life, that His divine power will enable you to overcome your circumstances, your sickness, your lack, whatever it may be. And maybe this morning you realize there's an aspect of your character that needs to change. It's not just life, but it's godliness. And that you want to come to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, come and change my life. Speak into me. Breathe into me, Lord, and change me. If that is you, that's the first group I love to pray with. And then the second is those who want more of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you want more of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, but if you have a desire for more of the Holy Spirit, we would also love to pray with you. And then lastly, most importantly, if you're here this morning and you want to surrender your life, you want to give your life to God, you want to surrender all, you come to the point where you have discovered that you're in need of a Savior, but you're also in need of a purpose. A purpose to no longer live for yourself, but to live for God. Where you realize that you are lost without Him, and you want to follow Him as King. If that is you this morning, I'm going to ask the band to minister to us. And I want you just to do something brave. We want to pray with you, and I want you to come forward. If you can identify with one of those three areas, I want us to come forward, and we're going to partake of communion together at that moment. But we want to pray for you. So if you are struggling with life or godliness, or you're in this place where you just need more of the Holy Spirit in your life, I want us all to stand for a moment. And then we're going to worship together. And as we worship, if that is you, we want to invite you just to come forward. We're going to pray with you. If you're in need of all things pertaining to life and godliness, or maybe more of the Holy Spirit, or just to surrender to God, as we worship, come forward and we're going to pray with you. I'm going to ask the facilitators to also help us. You can come forward, and the band's going to minister to us, and we're just all going to worship together as we minister. And then I'm going to lead us into communion. No matter what you need in life, whether it is sickness, whether it's lack, whether it's your circumstances, God says, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And if it's your desire to grow more in the Spirit of God, in the fruit and the gifts, God said, come, I will give freely to those who are hungry, to those who are thirsty. And if you want to surrender your life to God, you want to make a commitment, today is the best day to do that, because you can even have yourself baptized at 12. So if that is you, just respond. There's some more facilitators to come and help us. And for the rest of us, while we minister here, let's partake of communion. Let us just respond to the Lord in our own hearts. That what stood out for us. That what we can grow in. As Peter reminds us of these amazing promises. Let's take our bread together. Father, we want to thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the sacrifice that will save us from the corruption of this world. Thank you for the price that you paid. Lord, may we never forget the sacrifice and its cost. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Lord, thank you for your blood that was spilled to wash us clean, to give us entrance into the new kingdom. Thank you, God. In faith, we stand not only that you are our Savior, but you are our King, and that you will lead us into eternal life. And Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we drink unto you and your promises, our faith in you, and our loyalty to you. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Lord, help us to respond to you always. Help us to always choose to live for you. Help us to continually grow in you and to be different to this world. Different in that we become more like you. Help us to be the light and the salt, Lord, the city on a hill, Lord. Give us the boldness that when the world asks us why we are so different, that we will be ready to give an answer to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And grant us the privilege to see others also turn to you as we do so. If you have to go, may God bless you. If you want to just remain in His presence,